Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
We were talking about strong in grace. It was Paul's letter to Timothy. He said, "My son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus." And we said, grace is God's ability and power on our behalf. And that what God has done for us, the grace that's in Christ, is what God has done for us in Christ. What He's done, in other words, not just that Jesus came and died and rose again. Yes, He did. But then what does that do for us? We say, well, Alan, that means we get to go to heaven when we die. Listen, that's, if we stop right there, that's good right there, because eternity is a long, long time. But it's more than that. And the grace that's in Christ is what we're finding out. And Paul actually was the one that probably had the deepest revelation about what God has done for us in Christ. And so being strong in the grace is not being strong in your personality. It's not being strong in your fortitude. It is being strong in what Jesus has done for you. Now, and the beautiful thing about that is, I say it's a beautiful thing, but it may not be good news. Being stronger in grace is a process that we engage in. It's not something God's going to do for you. I'm going to say that again, just because it's important to know. Being strong in grace is up to us. God has given us His grace, but it's up to us. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he didn't say, no, God's going to make you strong in grace. He told Timothy, he said, be strong in grace. So in other words, you got to be strong, and you got to understand what God's done for you. If you don't understand what God's done for you, you're leaving, here's a business term, you're leaving a lot on the table. And I don't know about you, I've done deals where I've left stuff on the table. I don't want to leave anything on the table that God's got for me. He's got good things, and His table's a good table. And so we want to find out what's in there. Now, last week, we talked about some challenges becoming stronger in grace. I'm going to recap real quickly. And we use the example of the 10 spies. This is a well-known story. The children of Israel had come out of Egypt. They had come to the edge of the promised land. And Moses sent 12 spies, into the promised land to find out the land and come and bring back word. And they came and they began to bring back word, but all they brought back was negatives. They said, well, they said it's a good land, but. And they said there's obstacles there. There's giants there. They viewed everything through the lens of their own capabilities, and they left God out. Everything was viewed from their perspective. And if you'll go back and read the story in Numbers 13, Numbers 14, they never mentioned God. The 10 spies never mentioned that God gave us the land, that God will help us. They left Him out. You don't want to leave God out of your life. You don't want to make Him an add-on, or He's only about Sunday, or He's only about Wednesday. We want God to be all about our life. We want Him in our families. We want Him in our businesses. We want Him in our life, in our health, in our strength, in our mental capacities. We need Him in. And so the idea is, but you got to bring Him in, because He's not going to force His way in. You know, if God was going to force His way into anything, He'd make us all get saved and we would go into the millennial tomorrow. But He does not force Himself on anyone. It's a choice. It's always a choice. Isn't the most important thing, though, being saved? Is that the most important thing? Did God make you get saved? No. It was your choice. Was salvation available to you all the time? Did some of you wait a long time before you stepped in? Do some of you wish, I wish I'd done this earlier? Mm-hmm. Could some of us have missed some bad years if we'd have jumped into this earlier? Amen. Y'all don't sound too enthusiastic on that. You're lying to me, I know. So it's a function of finding out what has been done. Now, they did not have a strong view of themselves. This passage always is something here. Numbers 13, 33. They said, we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Boy, there's a lot to that. How you see yourself is often how you project other people see you. How you see yourself. And we'll talk a little bit more about that tonight, because really being strong in grace is being strong in how God sees you, and then you begin to get that image on the inside of you. And when you begin to get that on the inside of you, it changes things. And it changes your perspective. It changes your words. It changes your outlook. It changes a lot of things. And so these guys, they said, man, we're grasshoppers. And they projected that onto other people. Now, what we see plays a big role. Now, we looked at this verse last time, but let's take a quick look at it again. It's in 2 Corinthians. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. This is our body. It's perishing. I know that's not good news, but it's the truth. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Would you leave it up there just for a second? For the things which are, there we go. No, go ahead. Next verse, you had it right. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You had it right. And will you go back to the first part? Thank you. They're nice to me, and I'm nice to them, because you mess with production people, they can ruin your life. Therefore, we do not lose heart. As I was reading this, I know there's a few of us who are over 40. But it says, you don't have to lose heart about getting older. Because even though the outward man is perishing, now listen, I'm there. You know, we're going to celebrate 250 years birthday of America, right? A lot of you guys who were whooping were not around for the 200th, but I was. And, you know, you can look in the mirror and you go, man, this is discouraging because you're getting older. Listen, nobody gets older and goes, man, I am glad I'm getting older. I look so much better than I used to in my 20s. It doesn't work that way. But we don't have to lose heart. Because even though this body may be getting older, the inward man is being renewed day by day. And that means on the inside, we can actually get stronger on the inside than we were back in our 20s. On the inside. Not necessarily the outside. I was thinking about that this week, and the Lord just gave me a psalm. It's like a poem. I'll read it to you. It says, the things the human eye can't see are the biggest, most powerful things about me. The things that don't show up on the outside are the most valuable things the flesh hides. And the strongest, most capable part of me that I know is the part of me that does not show. The hidden man is where the treasure is found. The hidden man in Christ is on the strongest ground. On the inside is where we're strong. On the inside is what, and this is what he's saying. He says, we're not just looking at what's on the outside. We're looking on the inside. And this is where we don't lose heart, because the inward man, our spirit, listen, we'll leave these bodies one day and we'll leave them behind. Now, one day we'll get a brand new one. Yes, that's a woo. We'll get a brand new one, but our spirit doesn't get old. In fact, it gets renewed and it can get stronger. That's what I'm saying. You can be stronger on the inside now than you were when you were in your 20s. Or 30s, or 40s. You can keep getting stronger. So it's what we're looking on the outside. So what we see plays a big role. We don't want to limit ourselves to the outer man, limiting ourselves to our track record, limiting ourselves to our faults and failures. The things that are eternal are the things that we are spiritual. And they're the things we can't see. We say, well, Alan, if I can't see them, how am I going to look at them? Because it's the scriptures that tell us who we are on the inside. They tell us who we really are. And it's going to be a contrast to what we tend to tell ourselves. What the scriptures tell us who we are in Christ is going to be a contrast a lot of times to what we have thought about ourselves. So becoming stronger in grace, let's look at the guys, the two spies that had the right perspective, Caleb and Joshua. Numbers 13:30, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we're well able to overcome it. Now, I want you to listen to how these guys talk. And then Numbers 14, 7 through 9, it says, and they spoke to all the congregation, this is Caleb and Joshua, the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord, okay, here we go. He's bringing God in. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor feel the fear of the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. That's talking on a whole nother level right there. Instead of leaving God out, these guys are saying, hey, look, God is with us. He is helping us. You say, well, you know, Alan, that's Caleb and Joshua, and I'm not Caleb and Joshua. No, Caleb and Joshua were servants of God. If you made Jesus your Lord, you're actually a son or daughter of the Most High God. And so you can begin to say about yourself, the Lord is with me. He is helping me. Wouldn't that help you when you go to work and everyone's going, I just don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be horrible. I hate this place. I hate this job. I hate the people I work with. Hush. That's not helping you at all. Don't talk like that. You ought to talk like, the Lord's helping me. You say, well, Alan, I need another job. Well, the Lord can help you find another job. Well, the Lord's help. We got to bring Him into this situation. This is grace-based talking. It's based on grace. It's not based on my talents and my abilities. I've had God give me jobs I was not qualified for. And I took them anyway. And He helped me. I said, and He helped me. On my job. Listen, God's just not about Wednesday night and Sunday. He's about Thursday morning and Friday afternoon and Monday morning. He is about it all. And so He gets involved with all of them. So Caleb and Joshua, now they're talking about what they could do with God's help. That's a good thing to do. Our whole staff knows something. We say it all the time. God's helping us. We say it all the time. God's helping us. God's helping us. That's a good thing to say. It'll make you feel good. God's helping us. But years later, Caleb revealed his secret. Why did Caleb and Joshua, who went to the same land, saw the same obstacles, saw the same giants, saw the same problems, why did they talk differently than the ten? And we see Caleb tells us the secret years later, Joshua the 14th chapter, verses 7 and 8. Now Caleb's talking. It's been 40 years. Everybody who was over 20 died off. He said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was, where? In my heart. He said, I didn't bring back word like what I saw. He said, I brought back word what was in my heart. He said, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. He said, I brought back word that was in my heart. There's two things there. One, it's what's in our heart that needs to come out of our mouth. There's actually three things. Number two, we need to follow God. Following God, we're going to follow what He said about us. And then the third thing is, you can make someone's heart melt by what you say. If you talk fear and trauma and doubt, it'll cause people's heart to melt. When I was in sales for years, I always appreciated that Joy, whenever I left the home, she would just say, you're going to sell something today. She had something good to say. If you're a sales rep, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because there can be some ups and downs in it. But she said, you're going to sell something. I am so glad she didn't look at me and go, dear God, if you don't sell something, we're all going to die. But that can cause your heart to melt. Look at me and go, well, you know, you hadn't sold anything in a long time. What's up with you? Can you not do this job? You need to find another job, because I'm going to tell you something. This is not right. And this is, listen, you're making it hard on the rest of us. She never said that. Because that can cause someone's heart to melt. Now, here's another thing is, you say, well, Alan, I live by myself. I don't have to worry about it. You can cause your own heart to melt by what you say. And so here's the deal. He said, I brought back word that was in my heart. What had gotten in Caleb's heart was the promises that God had been telling him. God said, I'm going to give you this land. This is a beautiful land. I'm going to give it to you. It's a promised land. And Caleb's like, man, I got that in my heart. So even though he saw the giants, he didn't talk about that. He just talked about God. God said He's going to give us this land. He's following God. Now we're going to go through a hypothetical situation. If tomorrow morning you woke up and you went and got your coffee, and maybe you're sitting down about to read Bible 365, because everybody at the ARC reads Bible 365, just to let you know. And so you sit down, and all of a sudden the Lord's sitting right across the table from you. When the hair drops down on your arm and hair and head, and you look at the Lord and say, Lord, you made a mistake with me. I'm not what you say I am. I'm not righteousness of God in Christ. I'm not more than a conqueror. I'm not a new creation. I'm just a loser. Would you tell that to the Lord? I hope not. Because if he said, who is your pastor? Don't you say me. Don't you dare say me. No, if the Lord came to you, you wouldn't tell him that you were a loser and that he made a mistake, would you? No, you say, Lord, I want to thank you for what you've done. You shed your blood for me. I thank you that you washed me and cleansed me. I am righteous in your sight. Thank you. Thank you. Well, if we wouldn't say that to the Lord if he came, why would we say that, period? Why would we ever say that? Because he can hear. It's not like, I know sometimes people come, I like to sit in the back because the Lord's not in the back. No, he's in the front and he's in the back. And he hears. So there's no sense in us telling the Lord what a loser we are. Because we're not. We're new creations in Christ. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're chosen, accepted, forgiven, blessed. We're God's favorites. If the Lord came, you would tell him that, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, thank you for what you did for me. Thank you. You wouldn't dare say, you made a mistake with me. I'm just a loser Christian. God didn't make loser Christians. He made Christians who think wrong. But you can renew your mind. You can change how you think. You hear? You can change how you think. And if you've thought of yourself, you say, well, Alan, you don't know my track record. Well, I don't have to know your track record to know what the scriptures say about you. Now, whether or not you've walked in the light of that, that's why Paul told Timothy, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Not strong in your mistakes, not strong in your failures, not strong in your troubles, not strong in the fact that you go through moments of depression. That's not what we're basing our life on. We're basing our life on what Jesus has done for us. That's where we base our life. You say, well, my experience is different. Your experience can change. Okay. You know, y'all can go from woo to quiet and real quickly, let's talk about it. Say, okay, Alan, how do I get it to change? I did something a few weeks ago. I need to bring it back. We called it the halo method. Halo is, you know, a halo is a light around your head. And so we talked about have a scripture, absorb that scripture, lip it, which means speak it, and then own it. Make it personal. Halo. Developing a different perspective, a strong in grace perspective, we place a high valuation on what God's grace has done for us in Christ. Now, when I say that, we're saying this is important. It's important enough to look at. It's important enough to memorize. It's important enough to begin to think about. We'll just put up a couple here of scriptures, and you know this one. I'll go over this a lot. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Is having your sins forgiven, is that important? Real important. I'm so grateful. I'm so glad God's not holding my sins and my past against me. That my past is, he separates that as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. According to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. You're ahead of me, but that's okay. So we place a high valuation on what grace has done. You got to find out the scriptures about what grace has done. So where you see scriptures in the Bible that says in him, in Christ, as you begin to read those, and you find them mostly in what we call the epistles. That's what the letters that Paul and Peter and Jude and John wrote to the church. And Paul especially, in fact, they call it the Pauline revelation, is he had an insight, he had God-given insight into what happened and what Jesus did for us. And so Paul is well-versed in that. And so he'll talk about in him, in whom. And so when you see those scriptures, this is talking about us. That when you made Jesus your Lord, you stepped in him. In whom? And so when you see these things, that in him we're forgiven. In him we're redeemed or purchased, bought back. In him we're chosen. It's in him. It's not in our flesh. It's a spiritual thing. Jesus said something, and this will help you. Now you can jump to that one. He said, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they're life. This is written on a spiritual level, which is a higher level. And even though a lot of times we talk about the hidden man, you can't see, I can't see spiritually, but this flesh is only a shell. I'm a spirit being. If I left my body tonight and went to heaven, my body would stay behind and you wouldn't go, there's Alan. No, Alan is in heaven with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so Alan is there. You've been to funerals with loved ones and you don't look at the casket and go, that's them. No, that's not them. That's their body, their earth suit. They left that there in heaven. And so Jesus is saying, my words are spirit in their life. And so when you read these things and it says, I'm forgiven and I'm chosen and I'm blessed, and you're going, No, I'm not. It's talking spiritually. And spiritually, yes, you are. See, this is a beautiful thing. This is not about the haves and the have-nots. We live in a society where you got it or you don't have it. And if you don't look a certain way, or if you don't have a certain status or wear a certain, you don't have it. And it's the haves and the have-nots. And maybe you've grown up feeling like, I'm a have-not. I've just always been kind of average and no one cares. Listen, you can't take that mentality into who you are in Christ, because in Christ it says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people in Christ. It doesn't matter if you made straight C's with a few D's sprinkled in high school. It's who you are in Christ that matters. Amen. Not what you were in high school. And if you're still wearing your high school letter jacket, give it up. We're not identifying with what we were back then. We're identifying with what Jesus has done in us. And we can't see that in one another. And so we have to look at the scriptures. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Recognize the grace that's a spiritual reality. Here's the third one. Be still and meditate on God's word. Now this is, guys, listen. I know you all read Bible 365. all 14 of you. I know you read it. But here's what I'm talking about. Say, Alan, you want to add something to me?
Mm-hmm.
I do. I want to add you taking some time, not just to read through it, but to spend time thinking about it and to meditate on it and to find a verse and slow down or have some verses, and you just begin to meditate. Now, there's great promises there. There's huge promises there. And Psalms, the very first Psalm, Psalms 1, look at this. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. In other words, that's a whole flow of the world right there. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That ought to make us go, whoo! Because this means if I'm just not walking according to the philosophy and the course and everything that's in the world, or standing in the way of sinners, if I'm living different and my delight is in God's Word, and in God's Word I begin to meditate, say, well, and I can't meditate day and night. I'm not a pastor. I have a job. Well, you think I meditate? You think, I know you think I only work on Wednesdays and Sundays, but I actually do work. No, listen, you can... There's always times when we go blank, or we just go random. You're making the bed. What are you thinking about? You're driving down the road. What are you thinking about? So here's the thing. You can just start to meditate God's Word. I was riding down the road and I was meditating on Psalms 5. Verse 11 said, let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let all those who love your name be joyful in you, for you will bless the righteous, O Lord, with favor. You'll surround them as with a shield. So I'm just riding down the road, talking to myself, just saying, Lord, thank you. I put my trust in you. I trust in you. I am joyful in you. I love your name. I love you. Lord, thank you. You protect me. You watch over me. You are my defense. Just driving down. What am I doing? I'm just meditating. I was making the bed the other day. I'm the bed maker. That's my job. I have very few, but that's my job. And I'm making the bed. And I was making the bed. I just began to meditate on, I am his workmanship. I am created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has before ordained that I should walk in them. What am I doing? I'm taking moments where you could be thinking about what you're going to eat next week, or where you're going to, or the problem you have at work. And I'm taking it, saying, shift that and grab a verse and begin to take that, because there's life there. It says, you be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You bear fruit in your season. Your leaf, you do not wither. I don't care how old you are, you don't have to wither. You can be strong on the inside and not wither if you're strong on the inside, and whatever you set your hand to do is going to prosper. Yes. Now people say, well, I don't believe in prosperity. Do you believe in being stupid? I need everything I do well. I don't want to take a job and go, man, I hope I stink at this job. No, you want to do well at this job. I'm going to be in trouble with my wife. She was going to say, Alan, I cannot believe you said stupid. I cannot. Michael told that to the children's church workers one day. He was 3 years old. He said, Daddy uses the S word. And the children's church worker said, oh, really? He said, yeah, stupid. Yeah, I did too. He was right. Speak from the heart. Oh. Yeah, watch me have to chew on my own words here. Ephesians 4. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. You want to see a pastor repent? I am sorry for saying stupid. That was not necessary for edification. That did not impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Yes, I'm guilty. We could speak life. We have a choice. We can speak words that have life in them. We can think about things that have life in them. And the long-term benefits are huge. Huge. You start to see yourself differently. You start to believe different things about yourself. You begin to realize what God's done in you is so awesome, so amazing, and bigger than anything that's ever been done to you. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, I thank you for those who came tonight, those who are watching online. Lord, I thank you for your grace in their lives, that every one of us to be strong in grace. stronger than we are now. We can grow. Thank you for that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you came this evening and you said, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm just not sure. Or maybe you were sure at one time and you've gotten away from Him and you want to come back. Good news is He'll take you back in a heartbeat. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. If that's you, and you say, Alan, I want to be sure where I am with the Lord, or I want to come back to Him, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up across this auditorium? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Wonderful. You put your hands down, we're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to. If you're online, I can't see you, but we can pray this prayer together. This is a prayer. It's a powerful prayer. It's a prayer. And we're going to pray with you as a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior. As the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer. Thank You for those who've come out of darkness into light, for those who've come back home. Lord, thank You for what You're doing in them, what You're doing through them. We give You all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.